Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, did an American Airlines mechanic actually sabotage one of his own company's planes? And what's next for the people of the Bahamas? Been a wild week for travel, and we have updates.
At 3:20 in our Smarter Travel segment, we're going to ask the question, who are the worst behaved passengers on the plane? And how do you, an upstanding member of the flying public, deal with them? Or could it be that you are actually part of that group? Yeah, it could be. The annoying ones, yes. And you might even not even know it.
You might be sitting next to Tom on the plane and not even know it. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about pre-existing conditions and whether or not your travel insurance would cover them. I promised to get an expert on the subject, and today Ed Perkins joins us at 3:35 to talk about how to make certain you are covered when you buy travel insurance, even for that pesky problem you had treated last year.
Air service has expanded rapidly at Sacramento International, with six new airlines setting up shop in the past 2 years. Now, Mather's getting passenger service to San Jose. Find out about it coming up at 3:45.
If you're just wandering around the dial, stop. For the next hour, our goal is to make you a smarter traveler. Thanks for coming along. You're listening to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All I want on an ambulance man.
I come from a land on a land.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations and links to lots of stuff that we talk about and lots of other stuff that we don't have time for that is equally as interesting and enlightening is available there at Travel Guys Radio. .com.
Links to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Extended links to stuff is at travelguysradio.com. I'm going there right now myself, in fact.
Yeah, go check it out.
Travelguysradio.com.
There you go.
Usually you do this before the before you sign on for the show, but
that's
a pretty nice website.
There you go.
You know, if you go and you click on the first, the description of today's show, then you get a whole list of all the links and all of that kind of jazz there. And there's all kinds of other neat stuff on that. There's a link to the Make-A-Wish thing that's there, Tom. We had that gal on the show.
Right, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
About all those extra frequent flyer miles that you're going to see just go to waste that you could actually donate and help kids out with.
And I got two or three notes in the mailbox from people who said they thought that was such a great idea because they had 4,000 miles. And one lady had 8,000 miles.
There
and
you
she
go.
Said, my husband has passed. I'm in my mid-80s. I'm probably never going to fly on an airplane again. These are going to expire in another 6 months. So what a great way to be able to use them. I mean, I think that's just a terrific idea. So thanks to folks who are doing that. There's a link there. You can donate airline miles, either ones that are left over, or maybe you just have a lot and you would like to share some and help make a child's dream come true. There's a great link there at travelguysradio.com to give a child a world of hope with a life-changing wish trip.
At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news, and it seems like recently there is something every day. So, Mark, what do you got?
Well,
what kind of week did we have here?
It was an interesting, most of it focused, on the hurricane on the East Coast. And Dorian, who raced up the coast and actually went through Canada last night. The people of Nova Scotia and Newfoundland experienced 70 to 90 mile an hour winds with 100 mile gusts in a couple of places. Let me say that again, in Nova Scotia and Newfoundland.
Whoa.
So this hurricane stayed around for a while. Most interesting part I thought about this. And I say interesting because it wasn't life-threatening to people. Obviously, there's nothing really interesting about what happened to the Bahamas. Those people just got creamed. I mean, there's no other word for it.
Yeah.
And it's not likely that life will return to the way it was, I don't think, on at least one of those islands. The interesting thing is, though, that in Nassau, that the things are fairly normal. The hurricane did not go over that island and park there like it did on the other islands for almost 30 hours. So, I mean, imagine that. Imagine having a tornado. I mean, we're in California, so I don't even know what a tornado is like. But a tornado, you know, it comes and it rips through a community in a couple of minutes, generally. Imagine having tornado-like winds around for more than a day and what that would just do to... And they have really strong building codes in the Bahamas because, of course, this is no surprise to them. They get hit with a hurricane every 3 or 4 years, but never anything like this. So it complicates a lot of the travel world. Not only do you have all the people who are flying airplanes in and out of the East Coast, and you've got an American hub in Charlotte, and you've got a United hub at Dulles, and which fortunately kind of missed this. You've got the Atlanta hub for Delta. So those folks are a little bit inland. They didn't get as affected as much. But, of course, all of those, Charleston and Savannah and Myrtle Beach and all of those, Jacksonville and all those communities along the ocean, they all have airports and they all have planes coming in and out of them. So all those flights are either canceled or delayed. And where are those planes? And where are those crews? And how do you get them when you say, okay, let's go tomorrow? Now, is the plane and the crew someplace where you can match the two of them together? So that's a problem. The cruise industry, my goodness, you know, a lot of those trips begin and end in Florida. So if you were due to get off in Miami on Tuesday, maybe you didn't get back to Miami until Friday. You were supposed to board in Miami on Tuesday. You can't, or board in Fort Lauderdale. Maybe the airport's not even open. So how do you get there? So this, what this kind of underscores is, first of all, and I hate to just reiterate the obvious, but folks, don't travel to the Southeast during hurricane season. Don't let any kind of pricing draw you there, because especially not during August and September. Those are the peak months. If something is going to go wrong, that's probably when it's going to happen. And you see all these people who are they got on a cruise ship a week ago. The hurricane was out in the ocean. Everybody knew about it. So then they went off in their own little world and they just forgot about it. And 24 hours before they were supposed to get back, somebody said, hey, you know, the hurricane's a problem. So now ships that are supposed to be in Miami are all the way over in New Orleans. And they're not going to just flip their fingers and suddenly be in Miami. It's not an airplane. So it takes them a couple, 3 days to get there. And you've got all these folks who have bought airline tickets. And now the airlines, when they have a travel waiver, if you were supposed to go to Miami and now your ship, you've got to go meet your ship in Newport News or something like that, the airline will help you with that. If they've issued a travel waiver, if they haven't, then you're on your own. And you might say, well, the cruise line changed their itinerary and I can't get there and they can't do that to me. And go read the fine print. They absolutely can. So it's not a pretty situation. Plus, you've got all these folks trying to get off the islands out there or get to an island where they can get some help in the Bahamas. Good news, though, from the travel industry, American donated two airplanes to run people and run supplies out there. A couple cruise lines have canceled an itinerary and sent ships out there just to bring people back to the U.S. mainland or to take supplies out there. So the travel industry is stepping up their game, which is only fair since for many years the travel industry made a lot of money in the Bahamas. So you've listened to me rant now for about 5 minutes.
That was good stuff. No, you're spot on. I'll tell you, you know, all the way back to where you started, really think hard about whether this is an area that you absolutely have to go to during hurricane season, because it seems like it's getting to the point where it's almost every year.
It's hard to have a great deal of sympathy for folks who didn't do their homework, or not only did they not do their homework, then they didn't pay attention.
So if you don't do both,
you're going to find yourself in some real trouble. But look for, if you're headed into any place where there's going to be another hurricane. Guess what? The season's not over yet. So if you're headed someplace, check the website, have the app. Remember, we talk about having the app for the airline on your phone, and you can check that. And if you've got that app and you've got travel scheduled, it's a good chance that the airline will notify you that they have issued a travel waiver for the destination that you're going to or the destination you're leaving from. And then you can take steps to change your flights. And the other thing is, don't wait until the last minute. Make your decision early in the game, because otherwise at the last minute, there are going to be a lot of folks who are also trying to make up their minds.
Right. And in, once again, in regards to travel insurance, once the hurricane has been named, you can't buy the insurance.
So you're way better off to just pay $200 a person more and go into springtime when, at least up to this point, we haven't had to deal with hurricanes. No bets on what might come next. All right, let's talk a little bit about a couple of news stories here. American Airlines, here's a couple of American Airlines stories. They said goodbye to an airplane last week, the MD-80. Now, I know you're not a, you don't fly every week, but you fly infrequently enough.
Yeah.
The MD-80 was the airplane that had five seats across.
Oh, yeah,
so it had two seats on one side and three on the other. Mm-hmm. Of course, very popular with travelers because there was only one middle seat. So it was a lot harder to get stuck in that middle seat. And also, at the time that they were introduced, they flew a little faster than planes. So it was, they were infamous for being on the American Airlines run down to Dallas, which is about 3 hours and 45 minutes, and they could do it in about 3 hours and 25 minutes. It's amazing when you're in an aluminum tube that long how much 20 minutes means to you. Anyway, the MD-80 was retired last week out of service. And here's the other story from American Airlines this week, which is, is it really a little bit scary? An American Airlines mechanic was arrested on a sabotage charge after being accused of disabling a navigation system on a flight with 150 people on board before it was scheduled to take off earlier this summer. A veteran employee who was upset about stalled union contract negotiations, we've talked about that before. The plane never took off because when the pilots fired up the engines on the plane, they got a warning that there was a maintenance problem, and so they were able to take a look at it. The flight was just delayed, taken out of maintenance, and the passengers were put on another airplane and sent on their way. But as a person who flies, that is not good news at all, that somebody who's on the ground would do something that would, I'm guessing this perhaps didn't endanger people's lives.
Well,
and just kept the airplane
again, you know, his intent wasn't to harm people. His intent was to prevent the plane from flying so that it could stay in maintenance and they could still continue to, you know, disrupt flying in an effort to try to get their way, get it settled.
If you're an American Airlines flyer, you have my sympathy. They are showing up at the top of customer unhappy lists all over the place. And these things go in cycles. United's been at the top. Delta's been at the top. Airlines that are no longer around have been at the top. But for right now, American is the far and away leader. San Francisco runway, we talked about the fact that one of the runways was going to be closed to SFO. That started on Saturday. What has happened is that particularly United has canceled a number of their feeder flights. These flights that only have, airlines only have 50, 75 seats. A lot of these are planes from Sacramento, half a dozen a day. They've cut the schedule down from 6 to 4. Yesterday, only 2 of those 4 operated. So if you are connecting through San Francisco on United, United has issued a travel waiver for the 3 weeks this one runway is down. They will allow you to rebook and connect somewhere else if you can find something. At this point, you're a little late in the game. But if you are connecting through San Francisco in the next 3 weeks between now and the 27th of September, be aware of the fact that there are going to be delays, and keep a very close eye on what you're doing down there. All right, here's one other little thingy here. A bus company. This is kind of interesting, Tom. A motor coach company, Aero Stage Lines, which is a big company. They have motor coaches in a number of major U.S. cities here on the western side of the country, have sent out a press release last week talking about eliminating human trafficking one bus charter at a time, and talking about how, because of where their company is located, they do a lot of work in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico, and that kind of making not only their own people, but the people who ride their buses aware of the fact that you're traveling through areas where this is a problem, and here's some things that you might be on the lookout for. And if you see something like this that looks a little unusual to you, why, you know, mention it to somebody, because our bus drivers are trained to be able to know who to call and who to check on. So that's kind of an effective way of taking care of giving some assistance to law enforcement. This is not an immigration thing now. Mm-hmm. This is something about you know, folks, mostly young women, who are being taken advantage of. So it's a way to kind of eliminate
some right. of that. There, you know, there's a number of national campaigns, either having to do with human trafficking or national security. If you see it and it doesn't look right, report it.
Yeah, and I think people more and more so, especially after the recent big shootings,
are
saying, you know what, this didn't look right, and so I am going to say something.
There
so
you
if you're in an airport, if you're traveling, you see something that doesn't look right, then say something about it. And that's your travel news for today.
All right, coming up here on the Travel Guys, who are the worst behaved passengers on the plane? Could you be one of them? We'll have details next on the Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
I'm glad you know who we are.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about the announcement, Sacramento International Airport, and for the longest time, our buddy Jack Gallagher used to be the voice there, and now they've got some, you know, disembodied gal.
The doors will be closing. Please stand clear.
Speaking of Jack Gallagher.
That's why I was speaking of
him. He has a brand new show.
A brand new show.
That is going to start this Tuesday night. It's called A Stand-Up Guy.
That's Jack.
Yeah, and it starts Tuesday night. I am planning on going to see it.
Good, I'm looking
Tuesday.
For a review. I got to find some time.
And then we are going to, it's about his career in stand-up comedy, which started on The Tonight Show in November of 1985. And so that's, what, 43, 44 years? That's a long damn time, Jack.
Johnny Carson.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to do a show that's all about being a stand-up guy. And I personally love Jack's stuff, so I'm willing to, you know, go stand in the rain.
Jack can talk about pretty much anything that he's done or his family's done, or and make it enjoyable and funny and personable. You know, he's just got the gift.
Well, plus he's Sacramento. You know, he's been around here for a while, and probably maybe there were chances along the way to go do. I'll have to ask him about that to go do other things. But for whatever reason, he's chosen to hang his hat in Sacramento. And I think one of the good things about his material is that it's personal. It reflects his life or his time here in Sacramento. It's things that people can identify with. So it's
Remember when we talked to him, I want to know who his influences were.
Uh-huh.
I think that would be fascinating.
I think
to know.
It would be. So anyway, we're going to get an interview with Jack, and I'm planning on going to see it. It's called A Stand-Up Guy, and it's at the Sofia. We don't know. Maybe somebody will call us, 921-1530, and tell us, is it the Sofia or Sofia theater complex downtown? Because I've never, it's fairly new, and this is the first time that I've ever had a reason to talk about it.
All right.
So somebody call and tell us. Anyway, Jack is going to do a show, and we're going to have Jack on, and right now we're going to talk about airline passengers. You get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a baby screaming. And, you know, if it's Southwest, the advantage of Southwest is that if the baby got on before you, you have the opportunity to position yourself away from the baby. If you're on another plane and you have an assigned seat and the baby's in, let's say, 11F and you're in 10D, why then the baby's going to be part of your experience no matter what you do. But it has been my experience, especially as time goes on here, that the worst acting people on planes are not small children who oftentimes can't control their actions, but are big children who act like small children.
Oh, yes. And should be able to control their behavior.
It should be. You know, you have to think about, it's a really small space. Here's a really simple thing. You carry a backpack on a plane, and at some point in time, you're probably going to turn sideways and put something in the overhead. And when you do that, if your backpack has enough stuff in it, you're probably going to whack the person who's on the aisle seat across from you. Or if you've got something, a keychain or some little doodad hanging from your backpack, it's going to swing around and pop somebody in the face. So, you know, take your backpack off before you get on the plane. Don't be the person who brings the stinky food on the plane. Think about the other people who are flying on the plane with you.
Oh, but those garlic fries, I couldn't resist.
See, that's the thing. And
they're fresh.
You know, I mean, if you have to eat on the plane, we understand.
No, I would never do that.
You would.
No, I would never do that.
You better not, because if you sit on the plane near me and you do that, I've got to.
Except for a snack, you know,
right.
Something that comes out of a small bag. I don't bring meals on planes.
No.
I either eat it before or after. I'm never on the plane for more than 2 or 3 hours at a time. I can figure it out.
Well, you can grab a protein bar in the airport, overpay for something like that, and eat it on the plane, and it'll get you to your next destination.
Right.
So so what do you do if you're on a plane and you've got some of these people near you or they're causing a problem? So the first thing to do is ask politely. This is what the experts say. Ask politely. When your fellow passengers behave in a childish way, ask them to stop. Ask nicely. Please put away the smelly food, or please stop talking loudly.
Good luck with that.
No, I'm not really interested in how many miles you have in your loyalty account. You can ignore them. This is less effective, but sometimes will work. You ignore somebody behaving badly on a plane, and sometimes the behavior will end because they were looking for attention, and now you're not willing to give it. So they fall asleep because, after all, they did have those three scotch and sodas in the airport before they got on the plane. Finally, your last resort is to request assistance from a crew member. You could ask a flight attendant to intervene. The flight attendant, in some cases, can move you to another seat or reprimand the misbehaving passenger. Realize, though, that the only option may be for you to change seats, and you've got your coveted aisle seat in Economy Plus, and the only seat that's left away from this person you don't want to be close to is a middle seat in the back of the cabin. So, and it may not be within the flight attendant's ability to be able to fix that. So in those situations, you've kind of got to advocate for a little bit for yourself, and you've also got to hope that the person sitting next to you is a civilized person who, if you call to their attention that, you know, they're kind of hogging all of the space there, or, gee, couldn't I have a little bit of room to put my bag down too, that they will do that. A little bit of civility goes a long way, and I really think this is why Southwest Airlines has a leg up on the other carriers, is because people are in a little bit better attitude generally when they get on a Southwest plane to start with.
We didn't give this as much time as we should have, so we'll pick it up later. Ed Perkins joins us next after the news on The Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone. Once again, it is Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, visit TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to pretty much everything we talk about can be found there. Mark, we've got more flights out of the Sacramento, Northern California area to take people places that we didn't have before. This time, though, instead of being out of Sacramento International Airport, right over there in our own little Rancho Cordova neighborhood at Mather. To tell us about our guests and what we're going to talk about
here. This looks kind of interesting to me. We've had a lot of new airlines come to Sacramento in the last 6 months or so. Some of them are like Frontier, have been here before. Have come back. Some of them are providing different regional service. And this is kind of a new concept and that's being born. So I've asked Will Kempton, who is an economic development consultant with the Greater Folsom Partnership, to come and talk to us a little bit about the possibility of plane flights from Mather to San Jose. Will, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you.
So tell us about, you guys did a test flight last month. I've read online about when this might start, and you guys are looking to gauge the demand and stuff. So give us an idea of where this possibility of passenger service from charter passenger service on small planes from Mather to San Jose. Where do we stand?
Well, we are looking at implementing a pilot program sometime in the fall. We're right now shooting for about mid-October to get that pilot program up and operating. And we do want to test the viability of service between Mather and the Bay Area. We're focused on businesses, the Greater Folsom Partnership, the Greater Sacramento Economic Council, and the City of Rancho Cordova have all heard from members of our business community that they would like to have a different way to connect to the Bay Area. Just in the Sacramento Bee this morning, an article about the length of commute times.
And,
it's getting terrible. It's going back and forth to the Bay Area. You can sometimes spend 3.5 to 4 hours one way in heavy traffic. And so we all got together as partners. We talked to some aviation people we know, Lux Aviation, and we said, let's see if we can't put together a service that will be aimed at businesses that can make that flight from the Sacramento area to the Bay Area in 35 minutes. We'll see what kind of interest is out there.
So, Will, initially these flights are slated to run a couple times a week, round trip once a day?
We are starting with flights on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Tuesdays, we're planning to fly to San Jose International. We'll leave early in the morning and come back late in the afternoon. And on Thursdays, we're planning to go to San Carlos Municipal Airport, again, going out early in the morning and returning late afternoon. And this sort of bookends the Silicon Valley. There's great transit and rail connections up and down the peninsula there so that people can go to the airport and get to a business destination very quickly and save a lot of time in the process. And lost time means a loss in productivity. And that's what we're aiming to target here.
Well, and this and folks should understand that this is not Southwest Airlines. These are not 140 or 160 passenger planes that are going to run eight times a day from Mather down to San Jose. These are small planes that are going to run a couple of times a week with limited capacity. And so the fares are a little bit higher in the $3,350 range is what I'm reading here to start
That's
with.
Correct.
So tell me, Will, you're saying that this is targeted towards the business community. Will it be open to the general public also? Will the public be able to buy tickets on these flights?
We really are looking to develop a business charter here. You can go to choosefolsom.com, and that's a website that we have, and people can sign up with their interest. We are booking single seats, but we would prefer to attract the business community, folks that would be interested in taking, you know, several flights in a month's period of time. We have a very good aircraft. We're using a King Air 200, which is a really nice aircraft. It'll hold seven people. It is comfortable. On the trial flight that you referenced, Mark, we ran Barry Broom from the Greater Sacramento Economic Council, Joe Gagliardi, our CEO at the Greater Folsom Partnership, and Michael Runner, the deputy city manager in Rancho Cordova, and some business people. We took them over there for a trial run. Everybody was very, very complimentary about the aircraft, and it's a comfortable flight. As I say, you save an immense amount of time.
So I'm sorry, Tom, you had a question?
Yeah, just real quick. Will, a couple things. Number one, is this going to be a sort of dynamic pricing? You have any idea what the average, passenger fee is going to be? And another side note, what's your parking situation?
Well, we're going out of the Mather Jet Center, so let's deal with the parking situation first. And there is parking available at the Jet Center. The plane holds seven people, so we're not talking about an overburden on the parking facilities there. The price is $350 a round trip, and it's a fixed price for the pilot period. We originally had planned for a much longer pilot run. We're thinking of shortening that. We think we can still get the same reaction and benefit of testing whether this system is going to work and whether there's enough interest out there to continue it going forward.
So, Will, where do you go from here now? You've made a test run. You've gotten some publicity for this, and folks are aware of it. Are people signing up? You're talking about a mid-October start. When will you know whether this is going forward? And I'm also let me add here. I'm seeing that this is a trial thing, that you're going to try this for a few months and then make an assessment of it and decide whether or not it's viable going forward. Is that sort of in a nutshell?
Yeah, that's correct. We're calling it a pilot program, no pun intended, and we're opening it up. We think. Looks like the 15th of October would be a good start date. And the next step that you asked about is really to now conduct a larger scale sales effort. We're going to be calling businesses. We've had a number of businesses express interest. So we already have a file of people that are interested in making the trip, and we'll certainly take advantage of their interest. But now we've got to start filling specific seats for specific flights, and that's what we're going to do over roughly the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then we'll be ready to go if there's sufficient interest mid-October to to embark on our pilot program.
So, Will, do you plan on, is there thoughts of doing more than just these two airports? If this project is successful, would you perhaps consider expanding it to other airports in the Bay Area?
Absolutely, and the return flights as well. So it's not just from Sacramento to the Bay Area. It's from the Bay Area to Sacramento. And we're hopeful that, word of mouth and by some of the other contacts that we're making, that people will start to show an interest in the reverse direction as well. I think if the demand shows up, this is really going to be a winner, and it's going to be something that will benefit our business community here in the Sacramento region, but it'll also be a great benefit to businesses in the Bay Area and in the Silicon Valley that do work up here in Sacramento.
All right, well, keep us posted, please. Let us know when there's some development. Either you get going, you give up, you decide for sure when you're going to get started. Why, keep us posted. In the meantime, if you have a business in the Folsom, El Dorado Hills corridor up there, and you're looking for a quicker way to get to and from the greater Bay Area, choose Folsom.com, or you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and we will link Choose Folsom there, and you can find it. And good luck to you, Will. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
All right. Thank you very much. Will Kempton from the Greater Folsom Partnership. That sounds kind of cool. Especially since it takes half an hour to drive from Mather to Sacramento International. Well, a small plane can almost fly to San Jose in half an hour.
There you go. Yeah, no, there's going to be, I would think, a demand from the high-end business world for something like this, I'm sure.
We are going to take a break, come back, have Ed Perkins talk about some of the nuts and bolts of travel insurance. If you're one of those people who takes exotic trips or expensive trips or cruises that cost you several thousand dollars at a crack, we might have some information that would be really important to you. Coming up next here on The Travel Guys.
Hey, that must be Travel Guys theme music. Viva Las Vegas, baby.
Have you gone to any? You were doing blackjack tournaments there for a while. I haven't heard you mention it.
I haven't been back for a while. Yeah. I've been interested, but I just too many things.
Blew the whole $50 on one trip. Huh?
I know. Too many things keeping me in town. I'll tell you, and I think others might be able to relate to this, and I'll make this short because we got Ed standing by. For whatever the reason, and it must be because I just lose more money than my wife does, they invite me. I get these invites from all of these casinos to play in their blackjack tournaments, their slot machine tournaments, their poker tournaments.
Uh-oh.
She gets nothing.
I hate to I hate to say this, Tom, but bring up Ed here too. He's probably listening too. I'm thinking, Ed, that what they've done is they've recognized Tom as a sucker. That's kind of my thought here.
So I should tell my wife she shouldn't feel bad about not being asked because she's not a sucker.
That's it. But at least she's married to one. So, at least she gets the good deals and she can live off the land a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
it'd be nice to be able to sit down and play a blackjack tournament with her.
You play against your wife?
Sure.
Oh, wow. That I'll tell you what. Ed Perkins, welcome to the Travel Guys.
I am so staying out of that argument.
Yeah, wise choice, Ed, I tell you.
So, Ed, how are you doing up in Medford, Oregon?
We're doing okay. Air service could be better, but it could be worse.
Yeah.
The fire situation, when we spoke not too long ago, we were concerned about the fire situation affecting, some of your prime tourism time of the year.
Well, the tourism people took a bath last summer financially. It was a real bad summer for smoke. This summer,
So things have gone better up there this summer. Of course, the Shakespeare Festival up there is a main driver of the economy for a good part of the summer. My goodness.
Oh, that's right. They had a bad year last year, but this year seems to be okay.
Good news, good news. Ed, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a story here on the Travel Guys about people with pre-existing conditions. And it's kind of a boring subject. It's not an exotic destination or something, but it's something that impacts a reasonably decent number of travelers. And I was surprised to get several notes in my mailbox afterwards from people who were saying, gee, that was kind of interesting. Could you explain that to me again? What you mean by a pre-existing condition? And it sounds like it's kind of like the goalposts are constantly moving. And I thought to myself, well, that's fairly accurate. The goalposts are moving. You've been a part of this industry for a long time. You've seen a lot of these companies that offer travel insurance, probably some of them come and go. Some like Travel Guard and some of those have been around for a long time. I would love to hear from you a little bit about these companies. Is there one that stands out as somebody that seems to be more fair than others in terms of how they pay things? And then I'd like to talk about the difference in pre-existing conditions, because what one company considers, you had a heart attack 2 years ago and we're still monitoring that. Another company says, that was 2 years ago. If you haven't had any problems, we're not concerned. So that's a lot to put on your plate, but pick something and give it a shot.
Okay, well, let's talk about pre-existing conditions. You all know what that means, that if you buy travel insurance and then you either have to cancel the trip or need medical attention, and it's because of a pre-existing condition, the insurance policies say they will not cover that. And there, of course, is an exception. There's a way to get that waived. And there are, you have to do several things. The first thing is the pre-existing condition has to be controlled by treatment or medication at the time you buy the insurance. Secondly, you have to be able to travel medically on the day that you buy the insurance. And thirdly, if you wanted to have that exemption for pre-existing conditions, if you want the insurance company to waive that, you have to buy the insurance within usually 1 to 2 weeks of the time you make your first payment. And you also have to buy insurance enough dollar value that covers all of the non-refundables. You can't just say, because you want to round it down to a lower price bracket, that, well, I'll cover $3,500 instead of $4,000. You got to do the full amount. And the final caution is that any kind of a flare-up has to be not foreseeable at the time you buy the insurance. Now, if you conform with all of that, if you pay for the insurance early, if your pre-existing condition is under control, if you're able to travel at the time you buy the insurance and there's no foreseeable flare-up coming, then your insurance will cover you. And that's how it works.
Now, Ed, just as an example here, let's say my partner here, Tom, has...
I am a pre-existing condition, yes, by the way.
Is that what your wife says?
Yes. She always buys insurance for me as her pre-existing condition. Anyway, as you were.
Let's say, for example, that you have gout. And
could be.
A few years ago, you had it treated and everything is fine. And it's been under control. And 6 months ago, you went to the doctor and it flared up on you again. And you had it treated and you bought insurance. Now it's time to go on your trip. And gosh, it's flared up again and you can't walk. You're not going to be able to go on the trip. Now, Ed, when I mentioned the moving goalposts, it seems like there's not a standard time period in which a pre-existing condition. If Tom had seen a doctor 6 months ago for his condition, some companies would consider that to be under control, and some companies would consider, no, that's flared up, and so that's not going to be covered. How does one know the difference? How does one make sure they're buying the coverage that gets them exactly what they want, and then probably there's more cost involved?
Oh, it's the old story with insurance. You have to read the fine print. In all of these travel insurance policies, they tell you pretty clearly, if you're willing to wade through all the Insurance East language, they tell you pretty thoroughly exactly what's covered and what isn't and what the exceptions are. So you just have to wade through those details.
Have you had any personal experience with trying to collect from any of the travel insurance companies?
No, I have not, primarily because I make a real effort never to make any big prepayments that are non-cancelable. I mean, when I'm looking at Booking.com, for example, at a hotel, I do not buy that cheap no-refund rate. I'll pay more to get the fully cancelable rate. And that's basically how I protect myself, is by not getting into the potential loss in the beginning.
So in essence, you are buying a form of travel insurance. You're paying a little bit more for the product. You're avoiding the bargain bin, because the bargain bin is going to nail you if you can't go, maybe even if you can't go 2 or 3 days after you made the reservation. The cancellation penalties could be immediate, whereas if you buy something that has a more flexibility to it, you're paying a little bit more money, but now if you have to cancel on short notice, you're not going to get your feet held to the fire. So in essence, you are paying up for the privilege of being able to have more flexible cancellation policies.
That's exactly right, and the cost is not very high. I mean, normally speaking, on a hotel, it's $5, $10, $15 a night. And to me, that's well worth the knowledge that if anything happens, I'm not going to have to pay.
Ed, one other thing that a listener wrote in and said to me is, remind people that if you have to be hospitalized in a foreign country, that Medicare is not going to pay for it, and that you may not have any insurance to pay for it, and that medical costs in foreign countries for hospitalization can climb just like they are in the United States, can climb very rapidly. And said, make sure that your listeners know that if you're in a situation where you have to be hospitalized internationally, the bill could add up fairly quickly. That was their point of having travel insurance, was to avoid that situation. But of course, I've been in the tour business for 40 years, Ed. I've only left two people behind in foreign countries, and both of them returned home within a few days. So there you go. I mean, it's like anything else, I guess, when it comes to insurance, you're taking a risk. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Only that my overall recommendation is always, unless it costs you a lot more, do not buy non-cancelable travel services. And if, excuse me, I'm having a cough here. No, the fact is that most of us, by the time we get past our youth, have got some kind of pre-existing medical condition.
Yep.
So my number one recommendation to anybody is that even if you don't know that you have one, if you buy insurance, make sure you comply with whatever requirement is there to waive the exclusion for pre-existing conditions.
Ed, thank you. Good information for all of our folks. As always, Ed Perkins, travel advocate and journalist. Thank you very much, Ed. Thanks for joining us on the Travel Guys this afternoon.
Always nice to be with you.
We are headed out of here, Thomas. Next weekend, we are going to give away some passes for the new lounges at the airport. Keep the most miserable travel story you can think of and call us with it next week, and you'll win a prize.
There you go. Stay well, my friends. See you next time.
Dance like nobody's watching. See you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.